This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening to all the ships at sea, the people on land, and those of you in the video world. Welcome to hour three of The Show with Clayton McKee. I'm here along with my sidekicks, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, Katie June, and in studio with us, just monitoring me fucking up everything that the video production is Joe DeGanzic.
Yeah, is Al. Yeah.
And Al's watching, too. It's our first night with live video coming out of our Q-Talk studios, Studio B, right here at the Q-Talk Plaza in Central Phoenix. Thank you for joining us. We are, the drinking word is Blade Runner, for those of you who haven't been paying attention. And we're drinking along. Katie and Al both have made blended beverages. Marnie's in the middle of a story about, what the fuck were you talking about?
Dying in rehab.
I see dead people.
There you go. Something about celebrity rehab. We're going to talk about that. So continue on with your story. And then in just moments, we're going to kick off Thoughtful Vulgarity, where Al poses a question to the panel and we try to get out of it.
We all run in different directions.
Exactly. Go ahead, Barney.
Well, you know, it really, there wasn't a ton left to the story because she's dead, but well,
so sad.
I mean, really, there's no story continuing there, but you know, her boyfriend, I think it was just a boyfriend, not
baby
just,
daddy. He was definitely baby daddy,
but had been with him for years and years and years, and they had both tried to commit suicide off and on, and it was a pastime, and there was
it was a
I don't know. It sounded like a hobby for the two of them, and then
shooting themselves.
No. Trying many other ways.
Others.
Between overdosing and I guess one time they found her and her wrists were all cut up. I mean, she was not fucking around. Like, you know, this was a really serious depression issue. So, but they have things like with the celebrity rehab. And we've talked before about the I love my girl.
Like 30
but I'm
going to
go
ago.
With the idea of ass. No, but ass hats and that whole reality television thing, and I'm not talking about necessarily the people that watch it, but I'm talking about the oh, there are cameras now, aren't there?
But
she went to bed.
Yeah, God. But I'm just playing. But the idea that people get on this stuff and then they start believing their own hype and getting into all this craziness. And this celebrity rehab shit is, have you guys ever seen an episode of it, Al?
I've seen a couple. Now, I remember Leif Garrett was on it.
Yep.
There were some other people. Right, there were other people who had been on. I've seen a couple episodes, but it's been a couple years.
The Hollywood Madam.
Heidi Fleiss
was on it? I didn't realize that.
But she was on Mindy McCready's season.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's on everything. I mean, he is on anytime.
CNN.
And he's doing that. Oh, my God. Yeah. And he's doing that thing that, remember when Trent Lott, or what was the politician that's also a doctor that was diagnosing the woman in Florida that they were trying to, like, turn off her
toothpaste? Oh, my God. What was her name?
Terry Schiavo. Very good.
When that congressman senator was trying to diagnose her through video, and I'm like, you cannot diagnose somebody off what you've seen. And that's all he does is go on TV and, like, comment on Lindsay Lohan. No, I'm sorry. You cannot diagnose people over the TV. Right. So every time he comes on, I just want to tell him to shut the fuck up.
It would be brilliant if we could, because they go on and they get some more notoriety. You know that they're getting paid for this.
Right.
You know, they have to be getting paid for it. And nobody's helping them. Because these are really serious. I mean, I'm not trying to be... this is really serious. She had been trying to kill herself.
Yeah, she's dead. That's serious.
Well, still. But the idea that how many times do you keep trying to do this and someone's like, well, let's put you on TV. That'll make it better.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway.
And apparently she had turned him down.
I
was reading this that she said to him a couple of times, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go on. You know, she has two young children, like us.
Yeah. 9 months.
No, but they've been taken away.
They
were taken away.
Okay.
That's what I read. And like I said, I only read this because I was like,
they were taken away when the boyfriend died because they thought that maybe she was somehow implicated with the boyfriend's death. But apparently, and again, I don't know the source for this, but apparently, Dr. Drew got her to come on the show by saying, if you don't come on, you know where this leads and you won't be, you're going to die. if you don't come on my show and participate in rehab, you'll die.
Turns out one problem, two elegant solutions. You can, you're going to die either way, on or off.
Honey, so sad.
Yeah. No, they,
so my wonderment is,
I'm just running out of sympathy for these people. Like I honestly am starting to run out of sympathy.
When I say,
now let Clinton
do you mean
talk.
The people that were on that are on the show?
Just all or these celebrities with these problems that they just the keep airing piece. It all in public. Go figure it out.
Right. I agree,
Lindsay Lohan.
I agree with something that my mom has always said.
And Lindsay Lohan's parents.
I cannot imagine going on television and actually airing your own problems, not grievances. Grievances is totally different to me. Sure. But if you're going to go on and you're going to be interviewed and let your flesh, what, there's a phrase, I forget what it is.
Air your dirty laundry.
Well, there's that, but there's something else to do with flesh that I remember. Anyway, you're not, why would you ever go on and be publicly ridiculed or validated, or however you want to put it, in regards to letting everybody know what your tea is, if you will. Not to make reference to the show that's on Monday nights here on Q Talk Arizona or America.
Hey, AB, still listening.
But why would you ever? I would think, to me, if you were somebody who had issues already, why would you go somewhere where it then becomes a public format that everybody, be it nice or not, is going to then chime in on your issue?
Right.
If you're going to walk, if you're going to go, let's just use the actress you were just talking about. I forgot her name already.
Mindy.
McCready. No.
That's
oh, I'm so sorry.
The girl from Bridesmaids and
Melissa McCarthy.
McCarthy. Uh-huh. Okay, so if you're going to go, let's just use her as an example. I'm not saying that she has. Mm-hmm. If she's going to go on some weight loss show, like The Biggest Loser, and then she's going to say that she has an issue with her weight, you know that somebody is going to ridicule her for being an actress and being big and being this and being that.
Rex Reed.
Okay, yeah, why would you dare go on some sort of a public format? So I'm wondering why this McCready went on with Dr. Dre. Drew.
Dr. Dre. Different.
Totally different show.
One's black, one's
Blade
white.
Runner. Yeah.
But she probably have more luck. She might be alive if she went to Dr. Dre.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got a nice pair of headphones, listening to some comic music.
Different career, something.
But why would you go on and risk public ridicule?
But that's all we've been a part of.
We do because we're stupid. Here on
but we're not airing our personal... I mean, our grievances, but I don't think we hear much about our personal
not
lives.
Not much.
Except for stories about 60th Street and the drunk swearing women
or
that live there.
Or back in Nantucket.
Back in Nantucket. Remember? Can we actually strike that show from the record?
I did tell a 40-minute story of a black guy
I'm
dated.
I'm telling you, from April Which, by the way, to I heard... August, I'd like to strike most of those shows. So, fuck you. No, you're stuck with the STD.
By the way, Al, I've been told in
part. There's a cure. Again, as I had to point out over and over again that night, there's a cure for that.
I've been told multiple times people have run into me out and about, and they think your story was the funniest thing they've ever heard.
I have to agree with them. That's a funny story.
Yeah, it's a very funny story.
I just wish it wasn't so true to life.
No, but all of those people, that's what they're used to. I mean, it's not as though the people that you're seeing, short of those housewife people, but the people that have all these real heavy-duty issues, they're not, like, clamoring that I'm aware of, unless I'm missing a show, where they're, like, running with this depression kind of stuff and saying, hey, Dr. Drew, start a story.
Please help me.
Please help me and start a show about us, you know, us regular folk that have these issues. They've already been in the spotlight. You know, the Mindy McCready's and Rodney King and Jeff Conaway. And
Rodney King died of natural causes, didn't he?
No, he had PCP and cocaine and everything else. And
Shut the fuck up!
They considered him another, he's one of the five.
He still won't us to all get along.
Oh, he was on the show?
Wait, he was on the show.
He was.
Oh, wait. I'm so sorry.
I'm not talking about when the cops beat him.
Were you thinking Don King?
I'm thinking Rodney Dangerfield.
So
what?
Fucking different. It's kind of like Drew Pinsky and Dr. Dre.
Wow. Yeah, a little bit.
Rodney,
yeah,
I mean, really. Get no respect at all.
I
no
might
respect.
Need to call Dr. Drew. Right
Why can't
this?
We all just get along?
It's
I get
good
no
advice.
Respect.
It's good advice. It's good advice.
Anyway.
Holy shit.
But I mean, I guess that would be the difference. These people are already used to getting all that attention. And
I
that
just don't think you need, you don't need a camera to. You don't ever need a camera. You don't need a camera. To figure out your problems. Right. It just makes it worse. To open up, like Lindsay Lohan, she needs to get out of the spotlight. Her going on
but
Dancing with the Stars.
Paid. but it's about money. It's about notoriety. It's about that fame.
But now it's now they I think she's realized. You know that there's those people that like say like, oh, the paparazzi follows me everywhere because your press agent is calling people to tell them where you're
or
eating.
Or because Lindsay Lohan is like, calling them and saying, hey, I'm around the corner.
Julia Roberts is one of the most famous women in the world, if not like in the top three. Right. She manages to have dinner quite often without anybody finding her.
Sure, absolutely.
Like, there's no one, you know, there's a way to do it. There are these celebrities like Craig,
Ferguson?
Russell Craig. Russell Craig Bond is married to Rachel Weisz, like famous power couple.
No. Russell Craig?
No idea.
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz are married. Here you got James Bond married to an Oscar-winning actress and
beautiful couple
managed to get everywhere and stay under the radar. Sure. Like they're not photographed at every turn.
Yes, you don't have to be a trash bag to be famous and well known.
You don't have to be a star baby to be in my show.
Yeah, that's right.
There's that.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Well,
so I that's why I can't like I don't want to buy into it to what I can't even watch it like I can't even turn my TV to that dial because I don't want to buy into that level of horseshit. Like, you're not going to get better. All you're doing is acting for a camera. Most of those shows are all staged. And if they're not staged, then they just edit it down to make them look and feel worse. Sure. Like,
go. You had something.
The only other thing was that it made me think about the Too Much, Too Little, Too Late by Peaches and Herb.
Still not by them, but we'll go
No,
with
it's
it.
Not by them. Thank
At
you.
Least Denise Williams really? And
Johnny Mathis.
And the white guy.
Right, exactly. Who's not gay?
Past listeners will remember he was white.
Anyway. The soccer star came out as gay. They have on here. I like that they have that U.S. soccer
and then he
star
quit.
Comes out as gay and then resigns like 5 minutes later.
Yeah. Why? Who are we talking about?
Because he did that same sentence.
Isn't that the one who kissed his boyfriend on national TV?
The funny thing about it is he didn't like balls coming in his face.
Yeah. No.
Oxymoron.
There goes your social life.
Blade Runner.
That's cute.
Ball licker.
Terrence, god damn it. These are good whiskey slurpees.
They're good. They are
the best slurpee.
They are the best drinks on earth.
As soon as Marnie's done with this point, we're going to go into thoughtful vulgarity.
no, but it just was very interesting because we've talked about people like coming out and when we discussed the Harvey Milk stuff and where I thought you were falling out of your chair.
I thought she was too.
I know, well, I
was
one down.
We've lost Katie.
Man down.
Girl, yeah. Well, or man or girl.
Or woman. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. But the fact that someone finally comes out of the closet, and then is like, now I'm going back in.
Bye.
I'm done. Okay, I'm retiring. Just that whole thought of somebody in a professional sport being able to come out, and you have your ass hat from 49ers.
Oh, right.
You know, the Culver.
Starts the C. It's all I got.
But, you know, he comes out, and I ain't going to play with no gay person. So
and you're in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, just part really silly.
No, you're fucking on it.
That's a good point.
And Tyler must have tuned in late, but we did go over Clive Davis, because that's another one. 80 years old, who fucking cares?
Yes.
At this point, so what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who cares? Who gives a shit?
Like,
why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
I kind of go back to what the comment you made, I don't know if it was last week or a couple weeks ago, in reference to... why can't I remember who it was? Came out and we're like, oh no, it was the Jodie Foster thing.
Yeah.
It's like, where were you in the good fight?
Yeah.
Where were you? Coming out, okay, thanks, but yeah, you weren't there when we really needed you.
Yeah, and Clive Davis, I mean, he just based on the people he discovered, kind of thought you were gay.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't. I never even thought about it.
I actually had that written in my notes, and I don't even really care about Clive Davis or any.
His big thing was he's Arista Records.
Well, and I know who he is,
yeah.
But I don't really. I could really give two shits. But my note was
he'll be glad to know that
Clive Davis is apparently bisexual, which is ridiculous because not shocking at all. Like to me, I saw that and was like, and is this news? Like,
yeah.
I just would have assumed someone who A, looks like him, B, in his position, C, with his power, and I don't know. To me, it was not surprising. It was not newsy.
It was, when I saw it today online, I thought to myself, who cares? And I wasn't a surprise or not surprised. I was just like, who cares?
Yeah, that's kind of, I fell in that same thing of like, did someone ask?
Nobody cares. You're right, but it doesn't make a difference in the way that the...
So I guess we're all kind of quietly falling in. Remember we talked about last week after the show was off about like, I'm from the generation of, or the generation before me was like, they were fight, 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 and then they all died, and I was in the, now I'm of the generation of like, well, this is the way it is because those are the, what they're doing before me.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are of the generation of like, well, I think something bad happened earlier, and you were like, wow, that happened? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's kind of like as you follow that chain down of like, oh, now I get it. So now I think we're all getting into that. Oh, just come out. Like,
who cares?
What's the stigma? Like, we can't find the stigma or the...
I don't get the bad thing about it.
I don't get the bad thing about it. Yeah. Right. I think we're falling into that category of... And he's 80. Again, he's elderly.
So it is very, very, very different for him. For him, it's a big deal, but...
But, I mean, compared with putting up with Whitney fucking age. Houston, come out as gay. Jesus Christ, put up with that bitch for long enough.
It is 9:13.
I have to do something for thoughtful vulgarity.
Well,
just what? One quick thing. Guy, I barely know who this guy is.
Who?
A Guy Fieri? Is that who?
Guy Fieri.
He's got like bleach blonde hair.
The cooking show.
He eats like a fucking pig. Yeah.
He has Diners, Dives, and Drive-Ins.
Yes. So my sister, I have mental blocks. So my sister forces me to wear this. Well, I guess he has something like America's Kitchen and Bar in New York.
Oh.
And somebody hacked his webpage today and put up their own version of his menu. So I just have to read you a few selections.
I have to go.
I couldn't open that today.
GuysAmericanKitchenAndBar.com. And just read through it. I'm just going to give you my two favorites. And the one is from the appetizers menu. And it's the Hobo Lobo Bordello Slam Jam appetizer. We take 38 ounces of super saddened cheese-gutted wolf meat, lambast it with honey, pickle, wasabi, and pile drive it into an Ed Hardy design bucket. Sprayed with Axe and finished with a demi-glaze of thick and funky mushroom dribblings. $49.95. Turns out I have to do three.
Shocker.
Now, from the entrees, Panamania! Exclamation point. Deep-fried snake with a printed-out picture of David Lee Roth stapled on it and a sparkler sticking out of each eye, served with a side of Bud Light you have to wring out of a Hawaiian shirt, $24.50. And then the last one, and I almost shit my pants, and if I can get through this, I will try so hard. Okay, I have already failed, but I'm going to try.
You shit your pants?
Oh, my God. It's the Super Bowl Bash Bro Day. A bidet jammed to the brim with bubbling, overflowing Velveeta over a hidden layer of hamburger-fisted pig skins and a generous sprinkling of dirty South couch crumbs. Wait. The bidet is an MP3 player that plays Smash Mouth while you eat. Serves one.
$37.95. I was so pissed I couldn't open that today.
I love reading one of the other ones. The Honky Tonk Double Barrel Meat Loaded Blast. A Sammy Hagar lookalike pushes your face into a leather bag filled with oil and you eat the whole thing. If you eat the whole thing, you get a 13-pound burger.
$14.50. My favorite part is you give the price at the end.
Now, this one, it took me a long time to read it correctly.
Go.
Okay, I gotta try. Proof Rocktoberfest. Beer seasoned local meat. I gotta start over. Beer seasoned local meat with a poach and Ether glazed Marlboro Light. Wait. I gotta start over. Okay, we're gonna do it. I'm gonna do it for real. I'm gonna pretend it's the special on the menu where I work. Beer seasoned local meat with a peach and ether glazed Marlboro Light slathered in Midwest hot red style flavor juice. $22.95.
How many is it served?
Doesn't say. Only the bidet serves one.
The bidet is awesome.
Oh my God. Wait, the Blitzmas Beast. The Blitzmas Beast. Two jumbo Big Gulp Slurpee cups filled with nacho cheese and tied to each other with 25 bacon strips fashioned into a giant bow. Shellacked with Slim Jim style jus and topped with a dollop of smoked kitchen.
Wait. What was that last line?
What?
Something about a Jew.
Slim Jim.
Was Sammy Davis involved?
Slim Jim style Jew and topped with a dollop of smoked kitchen leavings. wait, okay. Okay, this one's called the Reno. Popcorn crusted popcorn chicken stuffed inside guy's nothing fancy meatloaf and super banged in a volcano of Tabasco butter. We pour it into a Lucite heel, smother it with our own special jalapeno sugar brew, and set it on your lap on a neon sign. Served drunk. Wait. Served drunk and on fire. Add a Cinnabon and two more Cinnabons, $4.95.
Welcome to the main stage, Jasmine.
I have found my new favorite thing in life, and that's Al laughing so hard that he, and trying to compose himself, but can't. That's my new favorite thing ever.
I thought it was going to be borderline making fun of Guy, whatever his name is. And I was not expecting it to be that funny. And when it was the side of Bud Light ringed that you have to ring out of a Hawaiian shirt, coffee sprayed all over my computer. And I peed a little. I'm not going to lie to you. I peed a little bit.
Oh my God.
And a side of Bud Light you have to ring out of a Hawaiian shirt.
Well, it means it's filtered.
It paints a picture.
Oh, my God.
Serves one.
My cheeks really hurt a lot. My ribs hurt.
For those of you still tolerating this.
God bless you.
It is 9:20, and we are going to go into a segment that we like to call Thoughtful Vulgarity.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Oh, mercy.
Okay, so I'm going to take a little serves one off of
$4.95.
Blade Runner, former Blade Runner fan Harrison.
Oh, well done.
What do you think is more dangerous in life? Like, as far as like driving, performing an important job, what's the more dangerous thing? Someone who's impaired by alcohol or someone who's completely sleep deprived?
Oh my God.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is. There are studies that, my understanding is, there are studies that say sleep deprivation is either very similar to or worse than someone who is drunk. I'm not promoting that. I'm just saying, either one, quite frankly. But I know that, just being honest, I mean, I've done both. And
Which one are you better at?
Oh, I'll share, really and truly.
Careful, there's cameras. Yeah. Jesus.
And not just that, but I think I've never been caught sleeping. Never been caught sleeping, so.
Jason just said that you're the new Robin Quivers. Apparently you're a black woman on this show.
I'm a black woman in so many things I do. Foxing, all of them.
Oh. No, but I would. I like in answering your question. I've never been caught sleeping, so but I have the other. And you know, sleeping though, I can tell you, it's like hallucinations. It's the strangest thing. Driving. From
oh, you mean
here
not
to Minnesota,
you've never been caught not sleeping? Like no one's ever called you out on being sleep impaired.
I mean, compared to drinking and sleeping, I've never been caught sleeping.
You've never fallen asleep while driving.
Correct, but perhaps I've been caught
or
drinking
been busted
and driving
for it.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I mean, that's the difference.
Well, and you can't get busted. I mean, I suppose you could, but you can't really. It's not illegal.
No, but you could still
to be
kill
sleepy.
Somebody.
Right, you could still harm yourself or somebody else. Right.
I think it's so dangerous. I think it's so dangerous.
Sleeping is
and
way
isn't that
more
stupid
dangerous.
That I would make such a statement, but be like, you know, but when I drank and you know, it's stupid when you think about it to hear myself say it out loud is pretty fucking ridiculous.
But I agree with you. I mean, I think drinking and driving is horrendous. And I have had friends that I know a girl who not too long ago was killed by a drunk driver. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure everyone kind of has those experiences. But I have been a sleepy driver and it's terrifying as the driver. And maybe when you're a drunk driver or a buzz driver or whatever, maybe it's not as scary because you don't. You're kind of like feeling a little bit more invincible or I don't know, but like having had a couple beers and driven home fine. I feel like I am like I can be still in control. And I'm talking about certainly, I mean, there's a big difference between being like drunky drunk driving. Obviously, that's horrible.
Dana Ross levels.
Right.
Just coming home from a glass of wine.
Having a
Mindy McCready driving.
Yeah. Right.
Oh. Oh.
Too soon?
But
too soon?
No. No. Still
not. Not Mindy McCready.
Nope. Damn, Gina.
But.
Blade Runner.
Damn, Mindy.
Cheers.
But like. The hallucinations. I've driven home. I remember the last time, one time, not too long ago, I was driving home from California, and Kelly was in the car and Palmer was in the car, and I had to keep pulling over and getting out and slapping myself in the face and taking deep breaths and up in the window and down the window and chewing gum. And back in the day when I, you know, smoked cigarettes, I would have been like chain smoking to try to stay awake. It is, you see things that aren't there. You are like, I mean, you're driving off a road that's not existing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is bad.
I remember driving. Go ahead, Clayton.
No, I'm just saying, because the, to use a trucker reference, the endless black ribbon.
Yeah.
It becomes so monotonous that you just.
A hypnotic.
Exactly. Totally. Hypnotic.
And then do it in the wintertime. Have you ever done it with the snow?
I have, but back home, it's been a long time.
The snow coming at the lights. Sleepy,
it's like you're playing Atari Asteroids because all the snow coming at you.
And when you're not tired, it's hard enough.
Right, but then you are tired.
You get mesmerized.
But you get, because it's so pretty when the snow is doing that, just starting to heavy fall and the wind is taking it. So it really is colors of light. Like it's like having an acid flashback, I hear.
Well, yes.
Were you ever a Blade Runner?
Well done.
Thank you.
Well, I wouldn't shoot any of you if I was.
I remember going back to Minnesota, and I was going up 35E.
Miles per hour?
No, that's the highway.
The highway.
I'm just kidding. I gotcha.
And I remember I was in Iowa, and I was coming up to an exit for Jewell, Iowa. And there was a truck, a semi-truck in front of me. So, of course, the four lights, right? They're backlights. And God only knows how far behind I was. I have no idea, but I saw those, and there was a bridge in front of this truck. And so all of a sudden, I'm watching, and I'm focused on the truck. And the lights became like a railroad crossing kind of thing. You know, like how you have two, like the flashing thing on both sides. And all of a sudden, the bridge looked like it was the arms coming down. Yeah. And I remember that as vividly as anything. That would have been, Lord, like probably 10, 15 years ago, driving back there, and it just, all of a sudden, it was like the flashing lights, the arms going down, and I get to the bridge, and I remember, that's how I woke up, was because I dove down, like I pulled the steering wheel and went down because I thought I was going to hit the railroad crossing signs.
Okay.
Oh my God.
And came back up as I was swerving completely off the road, because of course I had pulled the steering wheel, and went, I think it's time to pull over. Yeah. This is pretty fucked up. You know, like, obviously that's not what it was, but you get your senses. You get your senses back right then because your adrenaline just
shoots. Yeah, and then you can drive for, like, another couple minutes, and you go, oh, my God, stay awake. Right. And then you start to fall asleep.
Right,
you
do. Again.
And they say putting down the window or
that's
or
not water.
Turning
that's
on
not
the
water.
Vodka, Al. That's vodka.
Blade Runner. That make you feel better. But, you know, that whole idea of putting the window down, smoking a cigarette, doing this, doing that, turning the music up. None of it. That
there's always going to be.
When you're tired, you're tired.
Right. Yeah, when there's you're tired.
It's a point of no return. Eventually, you're just so fucking tired, nothing will help you. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Red Bull, coffee, nothing.
Right. Nothing. Right. I've done that. And I do have done the coffee and Coke and Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Coca-Cola.
Wow. I thought we had a new show all of a sudden.
Coffee, Coca-Cola, yeah. Red Bull, Monsters. Like all of the above. I thought that I have tried and it just like it just won't work. And I've actually done when I was driving to Nantucket cross country, I was driving and we pulled over on the side of the road at one point in the middle of God only knows wherever because my friend couldn't drive, and I was like, I can't see straight. Like, I cannot. Mm-hmm. So we had pulled over and slept for a couple hours. But then that's freaky deaky also, only because Michael Jordan's father. Remember that? Sad.
No,
it died. Michael Jordan, oh, the basketball
player.
Actually, remember his father?
You're right. But I was thinking other black people.
Marvin Gaye.
No, I was.
No, that's just you thinking.
I was thinking about Bill Cosby's son.
Dead father.
Oh.
You think of who?
Bill Cosby's son.
We're mixing all of our black people up.
Yeah, well,
because it was Marvin Gaye that's dead. His father's still alive. He just killed him.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Well,
anyway,
sexual scary. Healing, but not that. You?
Question.
Which is worse?
What do you think is more dangerous? And it doesn't. And we're not just talking about driving, but anywhere. In different professions, in different fields, like, what do you think is more dangerous, to be impaired by alcohol or to be sleep impaired? Sleep deprived.
Wow. That's a toughie. Being in both positions over many, many years, I think the more scary one is the sleep one, because I know that in all the times that I've driven back and forth between here and Missouri, driving back and forth between here and there, and I've been to L.A. so many times, wow, just sleep just overtakes you. It really does.
Yeah.
So that's purely not good. I remember when I drove, when I flew back home, and this is about 2 years after my mom's mom passed away, when I drove my grandfather's truck, the 61 Dodge, I drove it out here, and I got to Albuquerque. I was just done. Mm-hmm. I really was. And I remember I pulled into a truck stop I guess on the west side of Albuquerque, and they were, it was surrounded by 100 tractor trailers in the middle of the night,
and everybody's sleeping. Yeah,
everybody's sleeping, and I pulled up, literally locked the doors. I left the truck running because it was January. It was fucking cold as hell, but just laid down the seat and went to sleep. Laid down in the seat and went to sleep because I was done. I woke up in the middle of 20 acres, and not one truck was anywhere around. But at least I was rested. But it's like getting there. I kind of remember like getting there was like, it's how much further is this? Right. And that was just pulling off the road to the parking lot. I'm like, where in the fuck am I going to stop this truck?
Right.
So to me, that was just, I think, to me, the sleep was worse.
Well, and I think when it's about sleep compared to drinking, you're, this is Captain Obvious, but you're far more aware that you're tired as opposed to that you're
drunk.
That's
such a good point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're like, oh, I'm, you know, obviously I'm so tired.
And we've all done the same thing that you illustrated earlier. Yeah. Roll the windows down, turn the air on, play the music loud, play the music soft, play music you don't like.
Right, right.
Chew gum. Right. I never smoked, but maybe I should have taken it up while I was driving. Yeah. But I mean, there's any number of things that you can try that just really don't help. When you're done,
right.
You're done.
You're done, right.
You're just,
absolutely.
Yeah, there's no fighting it.
Yeah.
Alfred?
Do you want to go?
Joe, you want to add to this?
What?
Sweet Jesus.
What was the question again?
Oh my God, Clayton, come on. It's okay.
Which is worse? Being tired or being drunk and driving?
Not worse, but more. What do you think is more dangerous?
I haven't really drunk driving or drank while driving, whatever the fuck it is.
You're going to be drunk driving.
We will be tonight.
Anyways, are we going to get food
That's
later?
Called
anyways,
the BWI.
I think it's tired because I remember having an issue with that coming back from LA. And it was literally, I guess I should look at that camera, whatever. Anyways, it was the...
act natural.
It was scary because I dozed off for literally, like, I think 10 seconds. And I came back aware, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, you know, it wasn't, like, super dangerous, but it was like, holy crap.
Well, and did you do the... Because what I always done is, too, is rest, I'm just going to rest my eyes real quick. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm just going to rest my eyes. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Then,
not 75,
you know,
80 on a freeway.
And,
I've done that. Yeah. No, I'm just saying.
Oh, like, yeah.
I'm sure we've all done that.
And I was already taking turns with... It was my good friend Cindy and I. We were out in L.A. for our birthdays Disneyland and stuff like that years ago. And we were already taking turns, and she was dead tired. And I'm like, we just want to get home. And it's just like... Oh my God, what do you do? You know? And a good friend of mine who will remain nameless because he likes to be anonymous, he was driving like 100,000 Warp 9 or whatever back from LA to Phoenix. And he.
Okay, you just lost all of our listeners using the phrase Warp 9.
Oh, no.
Warp 9.
He was
driving fast.
It's speed. I got it. I'm on board with the speed.
He was driving fast and he blacked out, I think, for 30 or 60 seconds. Came back. And he was driving a sports car, so he was able to regain control. But he was literally like 10 feet from crashing into the car, from literally rear-ending someone in front of him. And he just came to, and only because he was driving the car that he was driving, he could regain control, and it didn't like completely flip and die.
Oh,
but I'm just
scary,
like, that. I think falling asleep is far more dangerous, personally.
I was concerned with what you just said because you said he slept for 30 to 60 seconds and woke up driving a sports car. What was he driving before he fell asleep?
Isn't that funny? I thought the same thing.
I like it.
I'm like, what, was it like an Impala?
It was, I don't know, a Nova.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it was a Nova.
He was driving a Ford Ranger.
Pinto. And
woke up driving a Lamborghini.
Got really lucky. It was
my
a good
favorite
dream.
Name for a car, the Dodge Avenger. It sounds like a confused superhero. I'm
going to dodge it too. Hey, bring our listeners back, Al. What do you think?
Well,
no warp 9 speed.
Well, I'm going to go a different way.
We're going to have a dictionary.
As a functioning alcoholic and a functioning insomniac,
you are the expert at this question.
This is the double
Let's
whammy.
Let's go to the expert.
Yeah. I have my foot in both worlds. And I was in Vegas a couple, like 15 months ago with a dear friend of mine whose birthday is in like 2 hours, Massachusetts
time. Happy
birthday. Happy birthday, Justin. And he's a sleeper, like Tim. Like, I grew up with Tim, even though neither one of you believe I know him. he sleeps constantly, and I can never sleep. So if I fall asleep, sleeping. Tim will wake me up. You're sleeping.
Oh.
What okay. the fuck? You know how long it takes me.
Yeah.
So if I don't panic till I get to like night 3 of not sleeping, that's when I finally decide to do something about it.
That is a true story.
Oh yeah,
you really will just go.
I've gone longer than I've got 4 nights is my limit, and then the 5th night we had to like invest in drugs.
Yeah, you're done.
So I spend my life sleep deprived. Like I'm kind of like so right now. Like I can't see. Like when I read those things, I had to read like this because I seriously can't focus my eyes. I'm so goddamn tired.
Can you imagine the ride home on his bike?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, but I have that ability to like function, but I know that we're getting into danger territory because I start to hallucinate. I start to like, I don't know what anybody's saying. I can't remember your name. I don't know what's going on. Like, and it's very dangerous. But then the other thing is, but I can still like I can make it home, but I only drive 4 miles. But I have fallen asleep on every major roadway in this town because that's when finally I'm relaxed.
Yep.
I'm behind the car, behind the wheel of the car. The music's nice. The seat's comfortable. The temperature's just right. There's really nothing to do because I don't think driving is an activity. And all of a sudden I'm comfortable and I'm in a place where I can fall asleep. And I do it all the time.
What's really fucked up about that story is he's a lousy driver.
Oh, terrible driver.
He's a lousy driver.
So lousy
and then he falls
drowsy.
Asleep.
Lousy and drowsy.
Because he gets comfortable and he thinks there's nothing really to do. And he just... But he's a lousy driver.
Yeah.
So
it's very dangerous. But then when you're drunk, and there's the difference from acting classes. If anybody's ever taken acting classes and you had to play a drunk, you have to decide if you're going to play like, it's my first time ever being drunk, and I'm just out of control, or I'm a functioning alcoholic.
I'm such a sloppy idiot.
And I'm used to faking and not letting anybody know that I'm drunk that I can do anything you can do but better. So there's those drunks that just operate at that level.
True, true.
So you just, it's one of those, it was a question in school that came up about who are you more worried about as a coworker, the person that's sleep deprived or the person that's impaired? And the answer was, it's the same thing. Like, they're equally dangerous.
Because one thinks
they're invincible, and the other one is going to fight. And so when I go on road trips, I can't not drive because I know I won't be a hero.
Sure.
I know the minute my body says tired, and I my ride home, like, I fall asleep at 7th Avenue or 15th Avenue in Indian School. I know I wake up, and I know I have one block. Like, I'm not going to pull over and sleep at the Circle K when my house is right there.
Sure.
But on road trips, the minute the hypnosis starts...
Yeah.
With the lights, the tail lights, the center line. From here to San Diego, going to visit Harrison when she lived there, I know every single nook and cranny to pull over, and I have slept in all of them.
Wow.
Locked the doors, prayed no one came and shot me, but I'm like, it's more dangerous. I'd rather get shot than die some horrible crash into.
Because it's a lot less likely that you're going to just be randomly shot on the side of the road.
Right, and also I'm not going to take out like 15 people with me. As you know, you will. When you do cross the median, if you cross to your right, you're going to go over a cliff on that little ride.
No, that's scary.
To your left, you're going right into head-on traffic.
Yeah.
So
I'm always the driver. I get car sick if I don't drive on those long trips. And so I really, really, really have to time it. Like when I feel good, not when anyone else feels good. Like when I feel good about driving... Oh, it's just, but it's freaky.
Well, depending on your driving, everybody's going to feel like shit when you get there anyway.
Exactly. I'm not sure. Or they're not going to feel anything.
Could be true.
Oh.
Marnie.
What's the other
one? I'm just saying, they're not going to feel anything.
Uh-oh.
I mean, depending on, you know, that is one thing that, well, since my life had changed a few years back and the idea of being inebriated and behind the wheel has changed, And the idea of driving tired anymore. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to push it.
Oh, God, no.
And it's, you know, it, became far more prevalent with driving. Aaron and I will go to like San Diego, that kind of thing. If it's just me, I've been foolish enough to be like, whatever. But, you know, then when you have other precious cargo, you're like, no, we're not doing that. And I do. I feel that whole kind of nodding where all of a sudden I spring back and I think, oh, my God, how long?
Right.
Was that a second? Was that? And going to San Diego, it's the
twisty turvy, right?
Yeah, where you're like, whoa. Right.
Yeah. And it becomes.
It
becomes and the funny thing, it becomes monotonous. That drive to San Diego, the drive to Vegas, the drive to LA, they're all monotonous.
Know it. Yep.
So, and my sister complained about it. So last summer, because of a storm somewhere else, my flight from New York City to Buffalo was going to be canceled for like 24 hours. Like, it's an 8-hour drive. Rent me a fucking car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, refund my money for the ticket. Right. I'll go to the Hertz desk and get a car. And I drove across New York State, like one corner to the other, 8 hours and 1 minute from door to door.
Oh, yeah. I remember you talking about that.
It's the most boring fucking drive. I mean, it's pretty, but it's just
trees. I was going to say, isn't that pretty?
Yeah, because instead of just flat desert, there's trees, but there's still like, all right, rest stop, tree, 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 rest stop, tree. There's no towns there. Like every other state in the union, there's two big cities or four big cities, and the rest is just farmland.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, one more fucking bridge.
It's 8 hours.
Like, if I have to drive over one more goddamn river.
To the, it's 8 hours from here to Colorado when we drive. And it is, and it's like, it actually,
with one sharp left turn for no reason.
Right? One of the rights? Yes. Like, out, okay.
Right before after four quarters.
Yeah. Oh, well, that,
rock or rock ship.
Oh, yeah.
One sharp left turn that you're like, where?
And, but it's all, that's rough. It's actually, from here to Flagstaff feels long for me because I've driven it so many times.
Yeah.
And then Flagstaff to Tuba City, like a breeze. I got that. It's easy peasy. But then going like through Monument Valley is just
That's
heinous.
Gorgeous.
Oh, it's beautiful. But to me, it's like just because I have these benchmarks.
Yeah.
And so from Tuba City to Kayenta is so fucking long.
Yep.
And then from Kayenta to Technopause is so fucking long. And then Technopause to Durango is like close. It's like that stretch right in the reservation where
Albuquerque
there's
to Gallup.
The mountains are beautiful. It's just nothing.
See, for me, here to San Diego is so short because I've driven it so many times that I can like check off the things that I'm going to see.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm like, oh, I'm here. Okay, it's not much further. Okay, so now our next question. So they're both dangerous. They're both bad. Don't do either if you can help it. And don't be a hero. If you're driving somewhere, absolutely don't. Mm-hmm. Just pull the fuck over and sleep on the side. So now Ryan wants to know, and I love this, Ryan Tyler.
Thank you.
That I just named.
Hey, Tyler. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, boo.
Ryan.
What was, this is my favorite question ever.
Tyler.
What was the most influential TV show for you growing up? Tyler, get out of my head. Like, all of a sudden, Tyler and I and Harrison are playing Two Women, One Mind today. Well, I guess it's Two Women, One Man, One Mind. Yeah, let's just slap y'all.
Just slap everybody.
All right, so the most influential TV show growing up. I guess I'll leave Sesame Street on the table.
Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, Little House Full of Fairies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't allowed to watch it as a child because my father was so offended by it. He called it Little House Full of Fairies.
Really?
Because he loved the books.
Oh.
He was absolutely offended by the TV show.
You know, being
And I have no idea why. I've gone back and
watched it. Wait, who was offended?
My father. He called it Little House Full of Fairies. Hated it.
Really?
I have no idea why, because I think it's a charming show.
And I
watched it later to find out if it
was really
that
bad. I'm just being honest with you. Like coming up with that fast, because otherwise I would say the facts of life, but then I get mocked.
That could be influential.
More.
You're a girl, I think.
No, that one really was. But there were a number of them. I mean, General Hospital was huge for me, you know, but I don't know.
Two-time addict, one time I got off it.
I married my rapist.
Yeah.
And it was legitimate.
Republicans.
Legitimate rape?
It was legitimate.
It was legitimate rape.
You know, I don't know. I think when I just come off with Little House on the Prairie, it was that whole growing up, people bullying, and you know, you saw all kinds of different stuff, the mean girl, and you saw how I thought it was very smart. And even looking back, there will be times because I deal with the insomnia stuff too.
Yeah,
and you know, at odd hours of the day, night, Little House on the Prairie will be on. And I find myself just kind of like, whatever, I'll have it for background. And I remember it. And there was something about the dad being, I don't know. It was something, I would say that was one of the more influential.
Yeah. And I mean, I love the books too. My dad read them.
Oh,
he was a big reader. And I was
a
big fan of the books. I never found anything in the TV show to be in any way egregious or offensive.
Right,
so I was always confused
by
his.
Interesting why he was so offended by it.
Yeah. And well, he's dead. So hashtag well, lucky. Can't answer the question.
Well, we can't so, ask him.
Tyler, now known as Ryan, has asked the new question.
What? Okay.
I had forgotten his name too. Oh, two girls, one cup. Yeah.
Oh, blah.
Most influential TV show growing up. And I'm allowing Sesame Street.
Ooh, wow.
Chips would be another one for me. Keep going. Like, I watch TV all
the
time.
I got a lot of mileage out of Eric Estrada. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I'm a...
Even the white guy rang a few bells.
Larry Wilcox.
Larry Wilcox. Yeah. Well played.
Yeah. No, yeah, Eric Estrada. Yeah, there's that. And I didn't even realize that when I was younger.
I thought they were made up. I didn't realize. You don't even know the joy I felt when a California Highway Patrol car drove by me the first time I was in California. I almost masturbated on the spot. They're real, I said while grabbing my penis.
Oh my God, they're chips. They're chips everywhere.
There's Molly's chips everywhere. Awesome. They're everywhere.
Molly has Roseanne in here, and I love that. I'm not going to say I like agree.
Several. I like several aspects of Roseanne because there were some child rearing philosophies with regards to that.
But the two of you are not young enough to pull a Roseanne card.
Molly is far younger. It's just the idea that like growing up things you're going
to
be watching.
I wasn't trying to sell that at all. I appreciate it. Even though I really didn't watch and follow it every week.
Yeah. No, I didn't either.
No. Actually, I think I've probably seen it more in syndication than I ever did in first runs.
And it got funny when the daughter got depressed. That's when the show got funny. When Darlene got shitty.
Mindy McCree.
Oh, yeah.
That's when that show got good.
Wasn't she always depressed?
No, the first season she was light and chipper in the show.
It was
sucked.
When she learned she was a lesbian.
Yeah, and then she started wearing black clothes and all of a sudden
she never talked about it on the show.
I only know her as like a depressed.
Yeah. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah.
Person. Even though I appreciated the chips. Did you say influential?
Yeah,
what was the word you used?
Influential. Television show.
Pay attention. I'm over here.
Oh yeah.
Influential is the word you used?
Yeah. Influential TV show for you growing up.
Influential.
From Ryan, formerly known as Tyler.
I don't know that influential. That's interesting. Some odd things come to mind. not that it was influential, but... favorite shows were like BJ and the Bear and
totally. Oh my God, I love. BJ, oh my God, you kind of look like Greg Abigail.
No.
Yeah, you kind of do.
BJ and the Bear. There was Dukes of Hazzard, but then there was also Sheriff Lobo, which was a spinoff of BJ and the Bear because Claude Akins, who played Sheriff Lobo, had a spinoff show. Now the only thing that I associate with that is, and nobody's going to get this, my grandfather, my mom's father, drove for Trailways Bus Lines. Claude Akins did commercials for Trailways Bus Lines. Oh, so my grandfather always looked up. He always liked what?
Nothing.
No.
Thank you, Molly. Fuck you. You take... I almost started singing the Facts of Life. Wrong show!
Funny, we all get to the facts of life.
Hey there, where you going? Not exactly knowing.
God,
that's the thing from BJ and the Bear.
That's fantastic.
There was a theme song to BJ and the Bear. And then My Two Dads. He was in the two gayest named TV shows of all time.
Yeah, he was in that.
Yeah, yeah. And the gal
If I play the theme from BJ and the Bear, do we get in trouble for that? I'm not sure. We'll find out. I remember those shows. But as far as some influential, I heard you say Facts of Life earlier. Yeah. I loved Facts of Life. Yeah. I totally love that show for many years.
You related to Tootie.
Yeah, because I was a black roller skating woman when I was younger.
Yeah, I know.
Again, that's how you... me too.
I think
maybe that was Al. You were Molly Ringwald.
I actually may have associated myself more with Jerry. I'm not sure. Just saying.
Well, that's understood.
I was only looking for Blair.
Not really.
You heard it, Jordy Orlando and Don. I was Don. Both
two,
women.
Two black women, right. Thank you, Tom Hopkins. Thank you. And I have no idea what the woman's name, the other one's name is at all.
Doesn't matter. She wasn't as famous.
The Jeffersons was also influential.
She might have been named
Dawn. Sure.
The Jeffersons was also influential. Because I wanted to have a white guy as a doorman. I really don't think of any shows that were really influential.
TV, ran my life when I was little. I mean, I don't know with you. I mean, I could recite.
Like Molly,
the
I was raised by a TV. Like,
oh yeah. I could recite a Reader's Digest, or not a Reader's Digest, how for God's sake, the TV guide. I knew when things were on. Dallas Falcon Crest. You know, like what, The Incredible Hulk.
I would read the TV guide like it was the Bible. I had it memorized. Like I knew exactly when a Barbra Streisand movie was going to be on repeat.
I just realized what I missed. Joni loves Chachi. Fuck it. Hands down.
Oh my God, that's Kelly's for sure.
Hands down.
Was that even on a season?
Joni loves Chachi was on for like 1 year.
It doesn't matter. It was.
But it had that strong. Oh my God.
Well, Kelly had Scott Baio. Did you love Scott Baio?
I loved Scott Baio.
Oh my God. Kelly loved Scott Baio.
Kelly and I are the same age, correct?
I had a little bit of a crush on him.
I thought the idea that his cross, like he had this thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then his cross was right there. Oh my God, I thought he was fucking hot.
Kelly has a signed copy of his record, like, cover.
No, I have his record. The blue one?
She has the record cover where he's laying on it.
Most
and
awful album
it's
ever.
Signed.
But I love
like,
him.
One of her friends got it, like, signed and framed
Tim
for
has
her.
That.
That's fantastic. Okay.
He has Cheryl Ladd's album, too.
We have a huge.
Love that. We have Charlie's Angels. Another one. Come on.
Yeah, she was obsessed. Anyway. Yeah. That's all.
All right, Joe, Star Trek, moving on.
Not Next Generation either. Don't pull that bullshit.
Oh, that's Harrison's.
You know, Knight Rider and Airwolf and some of the other things you mentioned.
Airwolf. I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah, totally Airwolf. I remember.
I mean, other shows like, you know, The Different Strokes and definitely Facts of Life and God, The Cosby Show. I mean, I was 80s. I was born in 77, so it was kind of 80s. I mean, my parents blacked out a lot of different things that I couldn't watch because of God only knows why.
But ironically, they found The Cosby Show.
There you have it.
Proper use of irony. Thank you, Tom.
You said your parents blacked out a lot?
Yes.
No, they
blacked out a lot to you.
They turned off a lot of channels on the cable box. Anyways, MTV and all that stuff. What else? But yeah, the Star Treks and all that other stuff was definitely influential. But, you know.
What about 8 is Enough?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So that and the Brady Bunch and all. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the other 80s shows. I mean, and you know what? Game
Brady
shows.
Brady Bunch was in 80s.
Press Your Luck. No Whammies. All those kind of.
I love what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. Those were
Password.
The best.
And
I actually was really into Supermarket Sweep.
80.
That's so embarrassing. I watched that once.
Yeah.
It was like my jam.
I loved game shows on Saturday afternoons.
I only watched Supermarket Bingo or whatever the hell that was called one time. But I got to tell you, every time I'm in the supermarket, I think I could win this fucking show.
Oh, yeah.
I always pretend I'm in a game show. I was so into it when I was little.
Because
I try to guess where the crackers going to be. Where the crackers going to be.
How much are
they? And I don't mean the white people with guns.
You know what? I remember.
Thanks for clarifying.
Not that it was really influential, but. One of the shows that I really, really liked when I was younger, Heart to Heart.
Totally. Oh, I love
that's
that.
That's the first time I ever saw a foreign car.
I love their matching Mercedes, and Max was their, and Freeway.
Freeway was the dog.
And our dog was oddly named Freeway, but not even close to size.
We had a bull mastiff,
and that was the, I don't know what the fuck that dog was, a little tiny dog.
Robert Wagner and Stephanie
Powers.
Okay,
Powers.
Again.
Which I thought was weird because Stephanie Powers to me looked like Natalie Wood.
She looked like Jill St. John, which was
absolutely. Absolutely.
Very incestuous. Yeah. And again, Stephanie Powers is another one that they made
up. McMillan and Wife, by the way. Another huge.
There's
show.
That, too.
Love that.
Get out of my head. Okay, first off, Stephanie Powers is another one that they made a big deal about in the late 70s. It was her big comeback to TV, and she was so old. I think she was 35.
Oh, that's.
You're still stuck.
Probably. Oh, I know. Yeah. Because now, as I get older, I'm starting to think, like, who else do I remember them just completely being amazed that they were still alive and able to walk?
Nice. I'm pretty sure none of you remember this, but I'm going to play it anyway. We'll see if we can get anything out of this, any mileage out of this. This is it. It was a tractor trailer. Here goes like this. The theme to BJ and the Bear.
And I never watched a show. Wasn't there a monkey on that show?
There's a monkey. Yeah.
Was a man and
that
a
was Bear.
That was Bear.
I don't like animals. There's no reason I would watch that show.
Yeah, Greg Evigan and this monkey, who may have looked like Ernest Borgnine.
And I may or may not have had... that would become awkward. I'm not going to say it out loud.
A crush on the monkey?
Nope.
Ernest Borgnine?
Nope. I never crushed
on anybody. That's the only thought we got. Ernest Borgnine. We got that.
The Dalmatian on Wheel of Fortune. Why was it so goddamn expensive? Wait. Can I answer the question now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I thought you had been asked already.
Oh, no. Well, he went with it.
I go last. What were they going to say?
No, nothing. Go. Absolutely nothing.
Well, I mean, and Harrison knows this because we talked about it today while I was at the gym. Mary Tyler Moore. Like that,
oh, God.
That one sealed my fate. Call. Like, and I'm barely old enough to remember it, so we're going to just play the odds that I joined in about season 3 for real and then saw the rest on repeats. But I did
see... How many seasons total were
7.
There? Okay.
But I do...
he knows quick. That. Yeah, quick. Exactly.
I do remember, like, her moving into the high-rise. She went from a fabulous apartment to a fabulous high-rise.
Is that what she was with Rhoda?
Rhoda lived in the attic, and she wanted the good apartment on the middle floor. Mm-hmm. Phyllis lived downstairs. It was her house. And she rented out the middle floor, and Rhoda was pissed off because she thought when the tenant left, she would get the good apartment and could move out of the attic that didn't have a kitchen. But no.
It didn't happen that way.
And that's how because they hate each other, so that's why they became friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it defines best friends for me. I mean, that's how I learned what a best friend was. Rhoda, the fat girl that lived upstairs that lost weight, and all of a sudden she was her equal.
That's a best friend. The fat girl that lives upstairs.
But then when she
my
became...
My best friend.
But then she became pretty. Then she lost all the weight, and she became a pretty girl. And then she left to get her own show.
Did you see what Tyler... But he says, I liked Oz a lot.
Yeah, I like men getting raped in prison, too. And Tyler, you'll be glad to know that was the show that got so violent at the end of the first season, I stopped watching.
So, oh my God, Al is not violent.
Tyler's stuck around.
But I absolutely marry Tyler Moore. And that's why I say I'm so mad that, like, twice in my life now, people have told me I needed to have a house and have, like, shamed me. And one of them was Tim the second time, making me feel like I had to own a home. And I'm like, no, I want to be married to Tyler Moore. I want to live in a glamorous high rise. Like, houses are not for me. I'm not handy. If something breaks, I absolutely cannot fix it, and I will just walk away.
And you've proven that in the past 2 years.
And I will just walk away while it burns because I can't do anything about it, nor do I care.
Walk away while it burns.
He will.
I will. There should be the guy from One Day at a Time, Schneider, living downstairs. That
Patrick
fixes
Harrington.
Everything.
Yeah.
Well played.
I absolutely do not come from a world where I should be a homeowner, but twice now I've been shamed into buying one, and I cannot believe my own stupidity that I bought into this fucking American dream twice that's not mine. But
that's a sad story.
And then
the second
one, we've talked about this because I was part of the Save Cheers campaign the first year it was on, and had my buttons in school and did the letter writing campaign to NBC the first year when it was bottoms of the ratings.
Thanks, Sarah.
Was Cheers.
That was of the ratings?
It was the only show to ever be last in the ratings and number one in the ratings.
Yeah, isn't that wild? And Friends, I mean, come on. Like, as far as defining, but as far as a childhood, that wouldn't have defined a childhood.
But that kind of defined...
Friends was my high school college.
Yeah. They were my age. Like, they were pretending to be my age. They were actually a little bit... No. They were really my age. They were pretending to be younger. That we're all about... We're about the same age.
Right.
But as far as you go through the... Like, Cheers was my sense of humor. Like, my whole sense of humor is based on Barbra Streisand and Bette Midler in the 70s. Cheers from the 80s for the sarcasm. Like, Lilith. Just right in my sweet zone. Yeah. I mean, that is just where I lay.
She's
Lilith.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The voice... Yeah. Well, no, Cheers.
Well, I know. Yeah, but later.
They spun her off, but she's from Cheers.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on an impromptu walk. I'll be taking my scheduled route.
Right. She was fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah. And the best line ever is when Diane looks, they say something incredulous to Diane. She goes, I can't conceive. And Carla goes, thank God.
The writing was brilliant.
We used to watch that because my dad watched it. And so it was on, you know, the TV.
And
so
they transitioned into Kirstie Alley, and she was a different kind of funny, but funny. And then older, it became Friends was kind of like my late 20s, like, where am I going to go? And then Sex and the City was like relationships.
Which I never got into.
God, I love it.
I have never either.
So much. But the one thing that hasn't been mentioned as far as childhood that just dawned on me, because you brought up as far as with your dad and your dad having Cheers on and all that. My parents had Saturday Night Live on all the time. And as far as influential incident, that kind of funny and that kind of playful and crazy, that was on very much when I was little.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely there too, because I am old enough to, like, be an active participant in Saturday Night Live. Like, my sisters and my
dad
were watching it. But
Candygram.
But that first season, of, like, that's a memory. That's a real memory. Like, I'm not watching that from clips. Like,
Shark.
I remember that show, UNICEF. Like, scrambling all over the place and what to do.
Because I was never awake when that was on. And so
you were
that
drunk.
I was like zero.
Were you in Nantucket?
So that was never my thing. You know, what other...
Harrison, designing woman of Corey Rock. Not designing. A childhood, though, but still.
Right, it would have been better.
I actually watched Designing Woman when I was a little girl, not having any, like,
don't
any,
we all kind of want to hit her right
put
now?
To, any place to put it, you know, in, like, a frame of reference now that I have, but I watched that. My dad watched a lot, and so I naturally did because he got control of the remote, was the Andy Griffith Show. He watched a lot.
That was
lot
Buddy's
of,
favorite.
And, was that? Andy Griffith's show.
Andy Griffith's show.
Yeah, watched a lot. That's right.
And,
because they were moonshiners in North Carolina.
What was the army? Right. What was the army?
Gomer,
the,
Gomer Pyle, USMC.
No.
You know, the one big military army
show. Oh, Hogan's
show.
Heroes?
No, actually.
Yeah. The other McHale's big, Navy?
No,
that's
another one.
The Navy.
How many shows are you going to name?
MASH.
MASH.
Totally. Oh, yeah. MASH.
Suicide is painless, apparently.
And I can take it or leave it if I try.
If I try.
Those are mine.
Not if I'm on Drew.
Saved by the Bell, though. That was like my own.
Yeah. I used to hide behind the couch because my bedtime was 9:30, never adhered to. So I would sneak crawl into the living room and lay behind the couch, but they would catch me laughing. Like, we'd watch Soap. And I would like laugh.
What a great
like,
show.
So they would finally be like, get out from behind the couch. But on Saturdays, I was allowed to stay up late. So I could.
That's so cute. Yeah.
Too many of them.
We are coming up at the end of hour three.
Good question, Tyler. Yeah,
it's our first night with video. We hope you enjoyed it. If not, well, just listen to the regular audio feed and fuck video. But we'll be back again, visual or not, next Tuesday. It's Al, Marnie, Katie, Joe's with us. I'm Clayton McKee. And like we always like to say at the end of every show, we will
see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.